Hey, hey, welcome to the You Are Covered podcast. I'm Hannah Lynn Miller, your host. Let's get into it. I am so glad you're here for another episode, especially this topic, because it's going to get good. It's going to be spicy. It's going to get a little hot in here. So just hold on to your seats. I titled this episode "For When You're Angry," instead of like if you're angry or something like that, or because here's the thing, we're all going to get angry at some point. We are human, okay? And if you get angry during this episode, I just want you to know that it's okay to be angry. We're going to have a few topics that might make you feel a little uncomfortable, and we might be talking about emotions, and maybe you do always get angry about emotions, and we can talk about that too, because that is a thing. So we are going to dive right in and start, as we always start, with theology, talking about what the Bible has to say about this topic of anger. And I hope that the one message that you get out of this episode is that anger is okay to feel. It is an emotion, just like happy, sad, disappointed. There's so many different emotions that you can actually feel, and anger is one of them. We're going to talk about why anger is an emotion that it tends to be a little different than the other ones. We can talk about that, but if you get anything out of this episode, I just want you to know that anger is okay to feel. It is okay. It's not a sin to feel this emotion. So let's dive into what the Bible has to say about anger. We've heard a lot of classic things on anger that has to do with the Bible. You may have heard that anger is a sin altogether. Maybe you grew up and you learned, you know, it's not Christian to be angry. If you're angry at someone, then you're not being like Jesus. This is so classic. And it's especially dangerous, I think, for people who have been put into situations, systemic racism, maybe any kind of sexism. It's extremely dangerous for ignoring injustice on this side of glory. And it is not helpful. And I think that this kind of unfeelingness towards injustice and saying, hey, you can't be angry at this, I just think it's not biblical. And we really can be motivated in a positive way to get angry at injustice, in a righteous way. But it's really hard, because you got to be careful, because there's definitely a line. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So that's a classic example of a way that anger can be talked about in Christian communities in the Bible, and we get it wrong. So Ephesians 4:20 says, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." So this verse is really helpful because it separates anger from sin, right? So it's saying, be angry, but do not sin. So obviously it's separating the two, saying that you can be angry and not sin, right? Emotions are a very human thing, and it's how God designed us, actually. Emotions can be very tied to memory, it can be tied to time. And because of that, it's very human. It's very, very human to feel angry and to feel emotions. The second part of the verse I want you to pay attention to, the part that says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. It implies that you shouldn't go to bed angry, right? This is like marriage 101. I feel like everybody talks about this, like, do not go to bed angry at your spouse, like everything. And here's the thing. Personally, this is my personal opinion, and you can have something different, totally okay. But I think this is horrible advice. I think this is like such bad advice, because what you end up doing is argue the whole night long. And I actually think that it doesn't really help you have good coping skills with anger, especially because here's the thing. It says, do not go to bed angry, or do not let the sun go down on your anger, right? That's what the verse actually says. What if you get angry, you know, maybe this might help if like you get angry at your spouse in the morning time because he didn't put his clothes away, right? And then you have the whole day to talk about it, right? And then you have it resolved finally at the end of the day. Okay, that works, maybe. But what if you're angry with your spouse after you, you know, did the dishes, you cooked, you cleaned, you put the kids to bed, and now all of a sudden you're angry at your spouse and you have like an hour left and or the sun's already down. I don't know. That concept, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, right? I mean, come on. I think what the verse we can take from is this principle of don't delay resolving anger, right? Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to anger. Get rid of it as soon as you possibly can. I think that's a principle here. And that kind of leads into this part where it is really important to communicate that you're angry in an appropriate way that doesn't damage a relationship. And this can happen like communicating your anger in an appropriate way, it can mean that you speak up more. It could mean that you actually take more time to process your emotions first and then come back and communicate the next day. It can look different for each person based on how their struggle is with anger, because the silent treatment when you're angry can be just as damaging as a spew of angry words. So this doesn't mean the outward flow of angry words said to another person. Like, it could also mean the silent treatment, because you're deciding to be angry with somebody and you decide not to forgive them or talk about it even. And so you give that person the silent treatment, and that can be just as damaging to a relationship as getting angry and saying 100 million hurtful things in a row. So that is Ephesians 4:20. And it says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Two parts, very insightful about what the Bible has to say about anger. I hope that's helpful. Just remember, the silent treatment can be just as bad as destroying someone with their words. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So a way to diffuse anger is to come back with a soft answer. And I don't know about you, but I have to take time. I literally have to step away from the situation and come back physically. Like, I have to take a walk, or I have to go to a different room, or I have to remove myself in order to come back and be able to have a soft answer, because it is not my natural bent. I will be honest. It is not something that I am naturally good at. Psalm 4:4 says, be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. That's a good one too. And I like pulling from New and Old Testament when it comes to things about anything, really. So I like seeing what the Old Testament has to say about anger and the New Testament. And this is basically just what we read in Ephesians 4:20. And man, I gotta tell you, I have learned that pondering in my own heart on my bed by myself and being silent, it's really, 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 really helpful for not sinning in my anger. It's taken me a while to get there, but honestly, I have worked so much on this, and I really think that it just iterates, you know, it's so easy to cross that line when you're angry and to sin. According to the Bible knows. The Bible knows. And then we have that time in the Bible when Jesus was angry. Like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I feel like the angry pastors that I've known, the ones that are just angry, I don't know, the way that they communicate is just angry. I don't know why, but they love preaching on this passage. I actually do know why, because I think it's because they can relate or something. They think they are relating. But this is a side of Jesus that when we read scripture, it's very different from any other interaction that Jesus has had with religious leaders. Jesus has been very cooperative. He will ask questions back, but it's never combative. It's never aggressive. It's never anything like that. Jesus is very approachable. People love to be around him. So his anger isn't something that makes people afraid of him. So this, and we can read this in the New Testament, right? That's not really Jesus's character. But all of a sudden we read that Jesus is flipping tables in the synagogue. And it's, you know, it's where people gather to worship God and they cleanse themselves of sin. And so they have to typically buy or purchase, if they don't have their own sacrifice, which would have been an animal, then they would have had to buy it at the synagogue. Well, Jesus was angry because of a system. The system was broken when Jesus was alive. The religious leaders were taking advantage of their authority and their position of power. They were judgmental. They weren't caring for the poor. And they were actually benefiting from these sacrifices. And so they were taking advantage of people. And Jesus knew this. And it made him angry. It made him angry because what is it? What is it actually? It is spiritual abuse. It is religious abuse. And that's what Jesus got angry about and flipped tables over. And you can read the story in the Bible. And it is very revealing to me that Jesus was angry about spiritual abuse. Okay. And so I think it's so interesting that the pastors that I've known, like I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, I'm not going to name any names, but there we have had multiple big megachurch pastors fail. And I just think it's very interesting how, and I grew up listening to all of these pastors, and I know I have heard each one of them preach on this passage, which is so interesting to me because I think, honestly, I think Jesus would have flipped tables at their churches from what we have found out. So I think it's very, very, very interesting. And we have to take note of these things, of when the Bible does mention anger. And when was Jesus angry? I believe that was the most angry that we ever see him. And it's not when he was being crucified. No, it is when religious leaders take advantage of people who are, you know, just trying to have a relationship and get to know God. And I think that is just exactly how we should be angry and how we should appropriately show anger that is just. So we see Jesus's character on this topic of anger. And when he got angry, it's very good to note because his person reflects the character of God. But let's keep in mind something about God's anger. So in the Old Testament, we read a lot that, you know, God is angry about sin, and he's a just and righteous God. He's holy, right? But as I was studying for this episode, I wanted to remind you, because I was reminded, that God's emotions, yes, he's created us like him to have emotions, and it's because God has emotions as well. But we need to keep in mind it's not the same as our human emotions, right? Because our emotions are very much tied to a time and a place and our memories and the way that God has wired us. But God's emotions and anger, it's not changing. So remember, God's character doesn't change. It's not going to just, oh, he's angry. Oh, God's angry. It's not going to just turnover or it's not going to be a surprise. His character doesn't change. It's not the same as human anger and passion, and it's not the same as human emotions. Although the Bible depicts God as having passionate anger, we have to remember that our God is way beyond time. He's beyond change. And he's beyond our imagination. So when the Bible uses things like human emotion to kind of describe how God is, we need to remember that that's just the way that the writers are able to depict our God. And it's not how God is, because he's not changing. He doesn't have an anger that just flares up, right? Like the anger the anger that we might experience ourselves or we've experienced from others, maybe a parent. And as you reflect on your experiences with maybe somebody who has had anger in your life or maybe something that, you know, you've experienced, just remember that our God's anger is just, it's holy. It's loving. We have tons of verses talking about that he is slow to anger. So it's not the same as the anger that we experience and that we have been affected by. So the Bible does have a lot to say about anger. The Bible doesn't excuse abuse, anger that makes everyone on edge, or anger that destroys relationships. It doesn't excuse that behavior. No, but what it does do is it separates an emotion that's very human from the action. In the action of anger, you can sin. In the emotion, it is something that we need to explore further. And I will never forget learning that I could say that I was angry without actually expressing that emotion. And now I have a pattern of knowing when my button is pushed and that I'm starting to get angry. And I'm like, you know what? I can tell that person, or I can say in that situation, I'm really angry. And just saying it out loud is really helpful for me. And then I can make sure that I am dealing with it appropriately and not sinning. It's like what the verse in Psalm said, like, sit in your own bed and be silent. I think it's so helpful. But we'll talk about more helpful things with anger. And I also, in the show notes, I linked an article from Psychology Today about anger and forgiveness, which I feel like so far has been the most asked question of my clients. And they ask me a lot about anger and can you be angry and forgive at the same time? Or does forgiveness mean that I still can be angry? Can I not be angry if I'm forgiving someone? So that's from Psychology Today. And honestly, I think that this is a really fascinating topic, and I might actually do another episode about anger because there's just so much to unpack. And I find it a very fascinating emotion. Like I said, it's probably the most complicated emotion that we have. I think it is. And I might change my mind, you know, down the road. But I think it's the most fascinating emotion because it's so complicated and it's a secondary emotion. And we'll get more into that. But as we move into fashion, I want to share with you some fashion history. And I titled this Fashion History to Get Angry About, okay? Because as I was talking to some of my friends, and I was talking to my sister about this, and I was listening to another podcast that was talking about this, I'll tell you this story, this really fascinating historic story about a beauty company that you might know about. But as we get into that, I just want to make a note about this. So men with emotions, culturally, they don't feel the freedom to have many other emotions because they want to be tough. They don't want to show any kind of weakness. And in any other emotions beside anger is feeling vulnerable. Like if you are showing sadness, a lot of the times culturally, we think of sadness as a weakness, crying as a weakness, which isn't true at all. It's just something that our culture has put on it. And so men typically will go, or women, if they feel like they can't be vulnerable or they don't want to be vulnerable, they will go into this like this mode of just feeling angry. They feel sad or disappointed. I'm going to be angry. I feel fearful. I'm going to be angry. And so men are not allowed to feel a whole lot of emotions besides anger. So, but that's acceptable, right? On the flip side, women are not allowed to be angry. Okay. So it's okay if they cry. You know, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just okay. You know what I mean? But they can cry, they can feel, you know, all their emotions, very normal. But if a woman gets angry, that is not okay. And I have experienced this. I have the privilege of having a mom who's very good at showing her emotions at the appropriate times. She's also from the East Coast. And I don't know, she was okay with showing that she was angry. Okay. And here's the thing. I'm grateful for that because I am very comfortable showing that I am angry and I am upset about something. Okay. And again, this is the whole thing. We can talk about what we're angry about. We can talk about it because it's a very normal thing to experience. It's what we do with it that is sin, right? But when I am angry, I have noticed that some people can't handle it. I don't know if it's because of a Midwest thing, like everyone's just happy. I don't know. Everyone's cozy and happy in the Midwest. I don't really know. But if I'm upset about something that's very valid, like injustice or how I was, I mean, I was, you know, I had a male dominated career and, you know, sometimes you just get angry. And this is definitely how I would feel. And I'd have to vent, right? But I noticed who I could vent to and who I couldn't because it's not as acceptable for women to get angry. And here's the thing, women, maybe you do need to get angry. Maybe you do. And there's things that women experience that should make them angry. And we should be angry about it, okay? Like one in three women have been sexually assaulted. I actually think that number is going way up. That should make us angry, okay? Like, we shouldn't stay there, but I think we should get a little bit more angry about it, okay? And, you know, just the lack of education for women, not, and sometimes when we read the stats, we're like, really, are you sure? Because we're in the United States. Listen, women across the globe are not educated. There's a huge education gap. That's fact. Look it up. It's a real thing. Okay. And then we've got the pay gap, which is a whole nother thing that you can look up as well. It's hard. It is hard to weed through those things and to process it. Okay, and so now this story, I just got you all riled up and thinking, and maybe you're angry that I'm even angry about those things. I don't know. But again, it's okay to talk about it. And if you disagree with me that we should be angry, hey, that is okay. You are allowed to have a different opinion, okay? But this is from me. I've got the mic. Hey guys, I want to take a break from this episode and I want to tell you about Descript. It is one of the most amazing podcast editing tools I have found yet. You guys know that my background is in audio engineering and editing. And you know what? I'm just tired of it. So that's why when I found Descript, I was so excited because it actually does the editing for video and audio at the same time. When you record, it turns into a whole entire manuscript. So it transcribes what you've already said. And the way to edit both audio and video at the same time is by rewriting what you said. It is literally a game changer. I'm obsessed. I love it. You can use whatever recording devices that you want, stream everything onto your laptop. You don't even have to have an SD card. It just plugs right into your camera, or you could even use the camera that is already on your laptop and you are ready to go. When you subscribe to Descript using the link that you find in this video, I do receive a commission, which helps me out and keeps this podcast going. So thanks ahead of time. And as always, if you need any help managing your social media accounts, check out my media company, Abundantly More Media, and we are happy to help you make your content dreams come true. Okay, so this is a fashion history moment that I want you to be aware of that's so fascinating, and I'm not just Googling this and finding this on a blog post, but this is literally on the beauty products website. And so if you've ever heard of Estee Lauder, I want you to know about their origin story because it's fascinating. So Estee Lauder, it is a beauty company. It's very well known, very prestigious. It's been around since the, I believe it's 1940s, 1950s. So this young lady, she and her husband live in New York, Jewish family. And I believe she was helping a family member with their, they like did facials and they created creams, and it was like that was the industry that she grew up around. So she knew how to use fragrances, she knew how to build a good product, and they use it most of the time just for their clients as, you know, a facial place where people would come in and, you know, get the manicures and all the things. So she knew how to use fragrance. Well, she started realizing that there was this gap in the market. And here's the thing. I can't comprehend this because I am in 2022 and praise the Lord, I'm in America and I can go out and buy whatever I want. Okay. Right. I don't think there's anything that I can't buy with money. Well, for some reason, I don't know why, women couldn't or didn't buy their own perfume. So they would have to wait around for a guy to basically, their guy, I don't know, to buy perfume. I don't know if this was just like morally wrong. Maybe perfume was like considered more for a mistress. I don't understand this, but this is 1950s and women couldn't buy perfume. That is crazy to think about. Like, I have so much perfume right now, like, that my husband did not buy for me, let me tell you. That's wild. So Estee Lauder, she was like, I think that we need to empower women. I think they should be buying their own perfume. And so she somehow crafted this this product and changed culture, that and literally the fragrance industry herself by creating something, and she couldn't even call it perfume. Okay. That's what really gets me. Like she changed it by literally calling it Youth Dew. You can still get it today, and you can check it out in the show notes. The story is literally on the product. It was, here, I'll just read this is literally on the website. The inspiration behind the product, absolutely captivating, flowers, rich spices, precious woods, blah, blah, blah. More than 50 years after it was launched, it continues to entice with its sensual yet timeless appeal. Women still like to feel beautiful, pampered, and loved, and that is what Youth Do is all about. And that is the quote from Estee Lauder, the founder. Estee Lauder wondered why women relied on men in their lives to buy them perfume, and why they reserved fragrances for only special occasions. To change women's minds and forever change the world of fragrance, Miss Lauder created Youth Do bath oil in 1953. Captivating, rich, exceptionally lasting. Women bought it for the bath, and as she predicted, soon began wearing Youth Do as a fragrance as well. Because it was sold as a bath oil and not perfume, women felt free to enjoy it and wear it every day. Instead of using Youth Do by the drop, women would use it as a bottle. And men liked it too. That's what the website said. And I find this story so fascinating. And there's a couple other websites that will share more details on the story. And so you can look at that. I posted more of it. I just don't understand. First off, I just don't understand. Why is that? I don't know. That's so wild. Anyways, I just can't believe that women at one point they weren't buying their own perfume. That's so wild to me. Anyways, I just think that the more that women can have freedom in the world, the better. Everyone is going to love it. Just like this product, everyone is going to love it. So anyways, what a story. It is so wild. It is so wild. I think it was a moral thing. I think that they weren't allowed to buy perfume because it was like something, I don't know. That's weird. Anyways, there's that. So we're going to move into the mental health side of things, and we're going to talk about anger and therapy and how to help with anger. Like, if your anger is out of control, there's usually a sign, like something needs to change. Because here's the thing, anger uncontrolled is going to destroy relationships. And so what we try to do in the mental health field is unpack what that anger actually is saying to you and why you're feeling that anger and then expressing it as such. So something to keep in mind is that anger is a secondary emotion, and that's why anger can be so confusing when you are angry. A great place to start is to step away from the situation and ask yourself some questions, right? So you may be feeling some other emotions. And so asking yourself, what am I actually feeling? Am I sad? Does sadness make me feel weak? Do I equate sadness with weakness? Am I afraid? Do I feel helpless? What am I afraid of? Do I have unmet expectations? Have I neglected to communicate my needs? Have I neglected to communicate my expectations? So I wrote down all these questions, and I'm going to put them in the show notes just because it is so helpful to ask yourself. And the ones that I've been focusing on recently have been, am I feeling sad? Am I feeling weak? Am I feeling afraid? And do I have unmet expectations? So those four things, just recognizing in your life, hey, which ones am I feeling? Am I feeling any of these four things? And then I'm reacting out of anger. And I think it's just so, so, so helpful if you can pinpoint what emotion you're actually feeling. And if you're feeling any of those things, it can get really confusing. And I think that's why it can cause so much conflict. So take some time, journal out your emotions. I know it's not comfortable, but when you're angry next time, try and ask these questions. I also put a pie chart of anger that I like to use with clients that I am going to put in the show notes. It is from a different counseling center, but I just really like the way that they set it up. Maybe someday I'll make my own, but I'm going to put that in the show notes as well. I have a hunch that as you explore the other emotions in your life, as you explore sadness, as you explore fear, as you explore communicating your needs, I have a feeling that your anger will lessen. And I think that's really key, especially if you are a guy listening to this. If you have any kind of feelings of sadness making you feel weak, just ask yourself, is anger something that I have been feeling more of? And when did it start? When did I start feeling super angry? And to all the women out there, I just want to tell you, it is okay to be angry with some things that you have experienced. I want to give you permission. It is not Christian for you to be angry, okay? It's what you do with it. You can be like Estee Lauder and look at this and say, something is not right here. I don't understand why none of these women are able to take care of themselves and do something for themselves, like buy themselves perfume. I don't understand that. I mean, if she was alive, maybe I got to ask my grandmother, like, why? I just feel like that's so weird to me. I don't know. Am I the only one who gets kind of upset about that? Anyways, you can be like Estee Lauder and you can decide, hey, I'm going to make some changes for our future, for my future daughters, for my future granddaughters. And I want to make sure that, you know, the world is not as cruel to women. And I think that would make a powerful impact. And it's a great place to put anger. It's to work out for good and not to take action in an angry way and not to stay there. Like, I just think too with, and that's why I think another topic would be forgiveness and anger and like how they work together versus how they work against each other. But you don't want to stay there. Like, don't be angry all the time, right? That's why taking apart, you know, the sadness, maybe feeling sad about how the women in your life have been treated, taking some time to just cry. Like, it's so good to just cry. It doesn't make you weak. Actually, it makes you stronger. And I hope that's the message that you get out of this. Anger is not a sin. It is actually a sign that maybe something deeper is going on, and Remember that Jesus got angry at systems that were unjust. Okay? He was not an angry, scary guy. He got angry once, and it was towards religious leaders. Told you it was going to get spicy. I told you. So anyways, thank you so much for being here. I am so glad you clicked on this podcast. I really appreciate it. I hope you keep coming back. I'm here for you. You can always hit me up on Instagram. You Are Covered podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can also follow my personal account, hannah.lynn.miller. And I love staying connected with you. And on YouTube, I'm going to continually be able to post more and more videos, vlogging, behind the scenes, stuff like that. And I just hope that you take the time as well to sign up for my newsletter. It goes out once every month. I do a fashion newsletter where I give you some of my favorites, some things that are going on in the culture that I really enjoy. And then I also do Mental Health Mondays. You can find all of that in the show notes, and you just have to click and then drop your email there and you can be subscribed. And I would really love it because it is so fun to write those emails to you. I feel like I'm like writing letters to a pen pal or something. All right, so that's it for today, and I will see you in the next episode. Thanks so much for listening and watching the You Are Covered podcast. Make sure that you are subscribed to whatever platform you love listening or watching to this show. It goes such a long way. I know it takes a few seconds to get there, but can you also make sure that you review the show on Apple Podcasts? It just helps us build a community together in this digital space. So thanks so much ahead of time. And as always, God's got you and you are covered. Be blessed. Thank you.